FNC's Carlson, "If Biden wins, Kamala effectively will become the president." By Jeff Poor on August 13, 2020. Wednesday, Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson dissected presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's selection of Senator Kamala Harris, DCA, and reacted to the fawning media coverage that has followed. According to Carlson, Harris' selection has thrilled many big business interests. However, Harris has not enjoyed a similar level of support with voters. Transcript as follows. Carlson, there are a lot of things you ought to know about Kamala Harris. And we are going to tell you, but the first thing to know about Harris is that in just a few months, she could run your country. If Joe Biden wins the presidential election, Kamala Harris effectively will become the president of the United States. Everyone knows that. Democratic donors understand it best of all. America's big banks have long controlled Joe Biden, for years in the Senate. For decades, he faithfully did their bidding, and in return they sent him money. They still do. In fact, far more money than they sent to the incumbent president. The banks were nervous for a moment about the prospect that Biden might pick Stacey Abrams, so they were thrilled when he chose Harris instead. On Twitter they cheered the news. The consulting group Signum Global sent a bulletin telling its clients to calm down and rest easy. The Democratic ticket is under control, our control. Last night, in fact, the DNC hosted a fundraiser with lobbyists for Credit Suisse, Raytheon, Western Union and ExxonMobil. So all is well on Wall Street. But how about the rest of the country? Actual voters have never shown a lot of enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. In fact, Harris was so remarkably unpopular in the Democratic primaries that despite nonstop media cheerleading, she was forced to drop out before the first votes were even cast, before Christmas. Biden's handlers know this, obviously. They were there, they watched it, but they don't care. They are betting that you hate Donald Trump so much that you will make Kamala Harris president anyway. Like their friends at Google, the Biden campaign understands it has a monopoly and they plan to exploit it. This is not the democracy we were promised. In fact, it's not a democracy at all. It is oligarchy and it has consequences for everyone. If candidates are only accountable to a small number of partisan executives in New York and San Francisco, they are unlikely to care when your neighborhood police station is on fire, for example. They probably won't be too upset when packs of mentally ill homeless take over your street or when your nephew overdoses on fentanyl. They have no incentive to improve your life, in other words. And instead, they can just lecture you about your moral failings, and they are. That's the system we have now. Kamala Harris embodies it. It's all pretty sad and unnerving when you think about it. What if you had an election and no one cared what voters thought? We are about to find out, but before you get too depressed, take this moment to enjoy the breathtaking absurdity of it all. The most oblivious politician in America has joined forces with the most calculating politician in America. Hilarity ensues. Neither one believes anything, but only one of them knows what day it is. When Biden called Harris yesterday, for example, there was a script visible on his desk, so the Democratic nominee for president is unable to speak to his running mate without assistance. Here's how it went. Begin video clip. Senator Kamala Harris, DCA, presumptive Democratic vice presidential nominee. Hi, hi, hi. Hi, sorry to keep you. Joe Biden, D, presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. That's all right. Are you ready to go to work? Harris, oh, my God. I'm so ready to go to work. Biden, first of all, is the answer yes? Harris, the answer is absolutely yes, Joe, and I'm ready to work. I'm ready to do this with you, for you. I'm just deeply honored and I'm very excited. End video clip. Carlson, that is just too great. We are keeping that on a loop in the tape department. I'm sorry to keep you, Kamala Harris says. Not since Elizabeth Warren pretended to drink a beer with her husband has an exchange that fake been captured on video. There were a Mexican soap operas more authentic than what you just saw. And yet, you still have to wonder how many times did they have to reshoot that scene before Joe Biden got his lines right. Let's try it again, Mr. Vice President. Warm, personal conversation. Take 11. It's going to be a deeply amusing 3 months. Do your best to enjoy it. But as you do enjoy it, pay attention also to what Harris says she believes. She will try to say not much about what she believes. Public policy is the last thing the Biden campaign wants to talk about. The plan is to skate by on Harris's historic status combined with, of course, relentless attacks on the incumbent. The New York Times, for one, is on board. The Times doesn't think you should worry about what Harris plans to do to your country if she is elected. Moments after Harris joined the Biden campaign, the paper declared her a, quote, pragmatic moderate. So why did they feel the need to sum her up that way? Well, obviously to send a very clear signal to everyone else in the business. At this late stage in American journalism, the New York Times exists primarily as an assignment editor for producers at CNN. If the Times declares it, the 26-year-old Vassar grads who decide what's on cable television faithfully repeat it. So expect to hear quite a bit Harris's pragmatic moderation in coming weeks. You probably already are. But the question is, that is worth considering. Is Kamala Harris actually a moderate? Let's see. Here she is last year calling for Congress to change the Constitution of the United States so that 16-year-olds can vote. As you watch it, for the sake of argument, pretend that Harris means what she is saying and then ask yourself, what kind of person can make an argument like that, in public, without blushing? Only someone who had never actually met a 16-year-old. Begin video clip. Rachel Damel, student, Harvard University. Do believe that Americans should have the right to vote at age 16? Harris, I'm really interested in having that conversation. I have to tell you that. I think that there is no question that if we are looking at what is going on in our country, we are putting more responsibilities on people at a younger age and the larger number of people that we can involve in the electoral process, I think the more robust it would be. End video clip. Carlson, there is no question, Harris says, that turning the government over to 10th graders would make the country more robust. For sure. No more school. Free Dow pens for everyone. Endless possibilities for more robustness. Does Harris really believe that? A few years ago she had this assessment of young people. Watch. Begin video clip. Harris, we mold and shape and direct someone to become a productive adult. What's the other thing we know about this population, and it's a specific phase of life? Remember, age is more than a chronological fact. What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. End video clip. Carlson, she's right about that. So, put together her two statements on the subject. Young people are stupid, and that's why we need more of them to vote. And it makes sense, in fact. When the entire electorate is as passive as Joe Biden has become, you can pretty much do what you want. You can wield total control. That's what Harris is arguing. Say what you will about that position, but it is not in any sense moderate. It's radical. And many of Harris's views are, whether you like it or not. Consider this tape in which she explains how the federal government should respond to the coronavirus pandemic. Again, whatever you think of affirmative action, it's like you never imagined affirmative action would be applied to life-saving medical treatment, but Kamala Harris thinks it should be. Begin video clip. Harris, the disparities that have long existed based on race are now highlighted. So one of the things I'm calling for around this pandemic is that we make decisions about where the resources should go based on that issue. End video clip. Carlson, so we make decisions about where the resources should go to keep people from dying on the basis of skin color. So only people of a certain color get the vaccine, for example. That's what she is arguing. Now, this is a lot of things. It's immoral. It's unconstitutional, obviously. But above all, it is definitely not moderate. Nor is this, by the way. Here is Harris in the Senate from 2 years ago telling the acting director of ICE that federal law enforcement officers are a domestic terror group. Begin video clip. Unidentified male, the Klan was, what we would call today a domestic terrorist group. Harris, why? Why would we call them a domestic terrorist group? Unidentified male, because they tried to use fear and force to change political environment. Harris, and what was the motivation for the use of fear and force? Unidentified male, it is based on race and ethnicity. Harris, right. Are you aware of the perception of many about how the power and the discretion at ICE is being used to enforce the laws? And do you see any parallels? End video clip. Carlson, are you aware of the perception? And do you see any parallels between federal law enforcement officers and the KKK? Harris wanted to know. But not really. The answer, of course, wasn't embedded in the question. Ever notice you act a lot like Hitler? Harris wasn't really asking anything. She was attacking and doing it in the sleaziest, most passive-aggressive possible way. But don't fight back, don't even think about it, because the only people who criticize Kamala Harris are morally bad people. She has been making that very clear for years. She's even been willing to attack her fellow Democrats. Last fall, as her presidential campaign began to collapse from lack of popular support from voters, Harris suggested the real problem was that the Democratic Party, her party, had too many racists in it. Begin video clip. Harris, what I describe and what I believe to be the elephant in the room about my campaign. Question, what is that? Harris, electability. Question, what do you mean? Harris, electability. Essentially, is America ready for a woman and a woman of color to be president of the United States? Question, America was ready for a black man to be president of the United States. Harris, and this conversation happened for him. There is a lack of ability, or a difficulty in imagining that someone we have never seen can do a job that has been done, you know, 45 times by someone who is not that person. End video clip. Carlson, is America ready? Again, it's all pretty amusing, and yes, to answer her question, America is indeed ready for a black president. We elected one twice. But is America ready for a shallow, hectoring rich lady whose only real fans work at hedge funds and MSNBC? That's the real question here, but don't expect anyone in authority to ask it. Instead, expect more lying, more propaganda. We are seeing it everywhere just in the last 24 hours. In November, for example, the New York Times described Kamala Harris as, quote, an uneven campaigner who changes her message and tactics to little effect and has a staff torn into factions. But that's no longer true. You know why? Because it's election season. It's time to take out the orange menace. So the New York Times has revised its view. Harris is now, quote, a political warrior shaped by life in two worlds, and needless to say, she's a pragmatic moderate. The rest of the media vehemently agree with this. In fact, they were so excited about Kamala Harris getting a raise that for a moment they forgot to scream at their makeup artists. Begin video clip. Lawrence O'Donnell, MSNBC host, I thought it was coming and it was incredibly exciting news when it came. Unidentified female, just a remarkable moment. Mika Brzezinski, MSNBC host, she care about women's issues. She cares about equality deep within her soul. Unidentified female, and she does have, a kind of a charisma. I don't want to use celebrity, but in political terms, she does. Unidentified female, really remarkable rise, as Nia Malika had pointed out there. And as you pointed out, Nia, she is a fighter. Steve Schmidt, co-founder, The Lincoln Project, she's smart. She's quick on her feet. She's articulate. Abby Phillip, CNN political correspondent. One of the pluses for a Kamala Harris candidacy is her personal magnetism. Bakari Sellers, CNN political commentator, this is a phenomenal pick tonight. Kyung La, CNN senior national correspondent, people wanted to be around her. There was a charisma, a fascination, for lack of a better word. Anderson, a bit of celebrity surrounding Kamala Harris. O'Donnell, I immediately understood why people in California saw her as the female Obama. End video clip. Carlson, she's remarkable. Really, the question is, if she gives a campaign speech from a position of elevation, is it a Sermon on the Mount? News at 11. The anchors on CNN, of course, were especially supportive. In fact, Kamala Harris is the only politician. Their boss, the tiny, but secretive Jeff Zucker, has every publicly endorsed. When she ran for attorney general in the state of California, Zucker said this, quote, Kamala is not just important for the city of San Francisco, the state of California, but for the entire country. End quote. So according to Jeff Zucker, Kamala Harris is that important. Existentially important, spiritually important. Probably too important to cover as you would a mere politician who just wants to take over your country. So stop asking questions, obey. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.